summer. So I can actually go to the water park and get tan.
And
I can drive around.
She guys always get
tan. Doesn't matter.
I was the only guy, I was the only, me and Gene. Gene was way back there, and I'm up.
God's blessings be with you. Welcome to the Sunday worship service at St. Paul.
Good morning. Welcome to all of you out there in Facebook land. Thanks for tuning in today. This is St. Paul Lutheran Church in Waseca, Minnesota. We're on the radio now, too, so you need to behave yourselves out there. And we're going to sing a Lenten hymn, again, one of my favorites. In the cross of Christ I glory. In the cross of Christ I glory. Number 427 in Lutheran service book. Today is the Order of Matins, page 219, if you're following along in your hymnals. O Lord, open my lips,
and my mouth will declare your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord.
Glory be to the Father.
In the beginning, is now and will be forever. Amen. Praise to you, O Christ, Lamb of our salvation.
Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Oh, come, let us worship Him. Let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into His presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to Him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God. Great us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Today's psalm is written by King David at the dedication of the temple. Psalm 30. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help, and you have healed me. O Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol. You restored me to life from among those who go down to the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, O you, his saints, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, and his favor lasts for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. As for me, I said, in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. By your favor, O Lord, you made my mountain stand strong. You hid your face. I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I cry, and to the Lord I plead for mercy. What profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my helper. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, that my glory may sing your praise and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Today's Old Testament lesson is also our sermon text today. Ezekiel 37. As Ezekiel predicts the restoration of Judah and eventually the resurrection of the body on the last day. The hand of the Lord was upon me, Ezekiel 37, verses 1 through 14. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones, and he led me around them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone, and I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, says the Lord. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. Today's second lesson is in Romans chapter 8, as we focus on what truly matters, that in Christ our sins have been forgiven, our debts have been paid. God is not angry with us. He put it all on his own Son. There is therefore now no condemnation. Romans chapter 8. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. And our gospel lesson for today is in John chapter 11. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. John chapter 11. If you're able, please rise. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. When Martha had said this, she went out and called her sister Mary, saying in private, the teacher is here and calling for you. And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, believed in him. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. We continue with our sermon hymn, which is number, well, it's Lamb of God, and it is number 550, written by Twyla Paris.
grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who speaks to us today as he has always done and always will do in word and in sacraments through his Holy Spirit. Amen. If you will, for a moment, indulge me on a personal note. I know there's something different about my face. I fell, and someone said to me, "You have a black eye, don't you?" And I said, "No, it's purple, for it is Lent." Dear friends of the suffering Savior, when I was ordained into the ministry, the attending pastors all placed their hands upon my head and quoted scriptures. After the service, one of my relatives asked me what it felt like with their hands upon my head. I answered with one word, heavy. Can you imagine the experience of the prophet Ezekiel? In his vision, when the hand of the Lord was upon him, not only was the Lord's hand upon him, but he was totally engulfed in those hands. Heavy indeed. That was an experience to remember, and I am sure Ezekiel never forgot it. The hand of the Lord upon him, Ezekiel lifted high, brought here by the Lord's own Spirit, the valley bleak and dry. A place of death and aged bones before Ezekiel lay, and back and forth the Spirit led the prophet on his way. God said, "O prophet, prophesy. O dry bones, hear the word. I'll cause my breath to enter you. The Lord you will have heard. I'll bring new flesh to bind on you and overlay with skin." God's word, Ezekiel prophesied, then heard a rattling din. Before his eyes, the bones conformed, as bone to bone was knit. To them the flesh and tendons clung, as joint to joint was fit. Although the bones and flesh appeared, Ezekiel heard no breath. The bodies looked to him like men upon their backs in death. But God said, "O prophet, prophesy directly to the breath. Bring forth the four winds, life, to breathe into these men of death." Then up the men of death arose. The breath of God had blown. An army vast, they took their stand where once they had been bone. The hand of the Lord upon him, Ezekiel prophesied, proclaimed the Holy Spirit's wind would breathe in man who died. Dead as the dry bones man once lay, the debt for sin is death, but now from death to life he's crossed in God's own mighty breath. My friends, I heard about a man, a pastor, in fact, who said, "I am convinced that if they ever found the tomb of Jesus, they would find no bones inside." Excuse me, they would find bones inside. This man, yes, this pastor who said that, had lost his faith in Jesus and no longer believed in the resurrection. But what did the prophet Ezekiel say? Namely, that God would breathe breath, the Holy Spirit, into our dead bones and liven our flesh. At this time in biblical history, the people of Judah were suffering the fate of exile and slavery. They had practically been buried in the dust of the desert. Their hope had dwindled to nothing because their hope was humanly based. Their armies had been vanquished, and their prowess had vanished, blown away in the wind. The nation was in despair. However, God commissioned his man, Ezekiel, to come to the people with the Lord's divine hope, for prospects of national revival were as unlikely as expecting a vast army of skeletons, dried, dismembered, to come to life again. Tell me, what do you think when you see a dead skunk on the highway, stinking, ripped to pieces by the tire of a speeding automobile? I know what I think. That animal, that skunk, is myself. Dead in trespasses and sin. Ephesians chapter 2. The people of Judah knew they were conquered by the Babylonians, but I and you were conquered by trespasses and sin. The only difference between that dead skunk on the road and myself and you is that you will live again and a skunk will not. Because Jesus died for our sins and was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification, as we contemplate in this season of Lent, we will come alive at the rising of the just. Think for a moment. Think of those dead men whom Ezekiel saw in the crevasse of the valley, quite dead, dry as the dust of the wind. They are you and me. But now think of them with the breath of God breathed into their beings. They also are you and me, alive in Jesus Christ. Why are we dwelling on the resurrection today in this period of Lent? We are dwelling on it for the same reason that in the third Sunday of Advent, the third candle, usually here, turns from purple to pink. It does that to cheerfully remind us that Christmas is nearing us day by day. And so it is we think of the resurrection in Lent, for Easter is getting closer and closer to us. Jesus is suffering and dying on the cross for our salvation, but by his resurrection, we will be given our own resurrection. Ezekiel's dry, dead bones in the valley, in a way, can be thought of as the bones of Jesus, without sin, of course. And his bones are alive and well, and they are not in his tomb. Those bones are ours too. The Lord says to the prophet, "These bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off." Therefore, prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. Now that land of Israel, God forbid, is not the land of sand and salt, which is politically fought over today, but it is the Israel of God. Check it out, Galatians chapter 6, verse 16, Paul says that. As the Apostle Paul tells us, and that Israel is the church, the kingdom of heaven, prepared for us by Jesus himself, as we hear in John chapter 14. I am always impressed and comforted too by the account in the Gospel of John where Martha meets Jesus 4 days after the death of her brother Lazarus. She tells Jesus that if he had been present, her brother would not have died. Jesus then says these astonishing words, your brother will rise again. Martha then expresses her faith in Jesus. I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Thank you, Martha, for your believing example. To which Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Then the unimaginable and the seemingly impossible occurs. The dead man, bones drying up already, brother of Mary and Martha, Lazarus, rises from the dead before their very eyes. He was nothing but a dead bone. But he rose from the dead, and those around him had to quickly rip off the death cloth from his face so that he would not suffocate. Lazarus had been dead, but now he had been raised to life, which is an example for us, predictive of our own death and resurrection. It's astounding in a way when you think about it. The world believes in death because the world dies. But Christians, believing in death too, of course, also believe in the resurrection. The difference between the church and the world is that very fact, the resurrection. How can that be? The answer is pure and simple, because Jesus himself will suffer and die and rise from the dead, as we are told in John chapter 11. My friends, if we dwell only on our mortality, we dwell on nothing. And the season of Lent is a pile of dead, dry bones. But if we dwell on death followed by the resurrection of our Lord and our own promised and predicted resurrection, then, only then, our bones shall live eternal life. Amen. The peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your minds and hearts together in Christ Jesus, our very Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Giles Zimmer, who is our visitation pastor here at St. Paul Lutheran in Waseca. Thank you very much for your message. You still got me thinking about when I see a skunk in the road now. I see a skunk in the road. I thought you were going to say, I'm going to miss it. But you say, you think of yourself. I got to think about that one for a while. Thank you, Pastor Zimmer. We're going to continue with a time of prayer, starting out with the ancient cry of the church, the Kyrie.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. O Lord, hear our prayer.
And let my cry come to you.
We come, O Lord, with the dry bones of our broken hopes and disappointed dreams. Bind us up in Christ, that we may learn to pray with confidence, trusting in your mercy to supply us with all things needful. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O God of power and might, you hold in your hand all the might of men. Give to us good government and faithful leaders who will heed your word and pursue righteousness and justice. Bless and defend us against all destruction, especially from this deadly pandemic, and teach us to be patient and faithful citizens of this land, using ourselves and our resources wisely for the good of all. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Lord, your Son shed tears for Lazarus, whom he loved. Grant your compassion, patience, and endurance to all who suffer illness, those who are troubled in mind or whose time on earth is short. Spare us from death now, but give us courage and comfort for far stronger by your power over death. Give comfort to the grieving and peace to the dying, the peace and the joy that only you can give. Lord, in your mercy, we pray, O Lord, that you would give particular wisdom to our leaders in this land, those who serve in government at all levels. Lord, in your mercy, we pray especially for our health workers, O Lord, those who care for the sick and the dying. We pray, O Lord, that they would have endurance and strength and healing. Hold them close and their families, O Lord. Hold them close and help them to know your peace and your presence as they serve in their vocations. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for those who are quarantined and staying at home, O Lord, for folks all over the land, all over the world. Lord, we are full of doubt and fear and confusion, and we just come to you day after day and ask you to guide. We pray, O Lord, as you have promised, that you would work all things out for the good of those who love you and are called according to your purposes. In our congregation, we pray for the family of Karen Zimmerman, whose brother, Bud, passed away in recent days, that you would help that family to fix their eyes on you, Jesus, the resurrection and the life. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for those who are ill in these days in our midst, including Harold and Jim, Mike and Bob, Jerry and Peggy, Eva and Jolaine, Marcia and Brian. Heal according to your will. Help them not to be afraid. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord God Almighty, through your Son, you have kept the promise of the ages and rescued us from sin. You have raised up the dry bones of a people captive to death, and you have made us alive in Christ forever. Sustain us in this hope that we may endure the tests, the trials, and the troubles of these days, that we might be ready when you come again in glory. In the strong name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you always.
Amen.
In closing today, we sing another one of my favorites. I have a lot of them. Come, thou fount of every blessing, number 686 in your Lutheran service book.
Day. Amen.
Well, thanks, everybody, for tuning in today. And we're going to keep on going. We're going to go right into a Bible class on the book of Philippians. We have radio time, as I understand it, up until 10 o'clock. And so we're going to use those minutes. And so out there in radio land and Facebook land, if you have a Bible and want to turn to Philippians chapter 1, thank you, Pastor Zimmer, again, and God's blessings to you and your wife, Peggy, as you take care of her and you take care of each other. God bless you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And a couple of thoughts. First of all, we want to appreciate the radio, the train, they call it around here, the train radio. Why do they call it that? I don't know, but somebody knows. Anyway, it's 1170 a.m., right? And it's 106.3 FM. And as I understand it, we have a long and strong relationship with the train, K-O-W-Z, is that what it is? Cows. How many years? Can somebody tell me how many years? Decades. 20 plus years. 20 plus years we've been on the radio. So today we want to thank them and appreciate them. And they are a good custodial friend here. Mr. P, we call him. He always got that channel on when I come into work every day. And it's great music. It's oldies, right? It's Beach Boys and Elvis Presley, and it's good stuff, good stuff. So you can't beat that music, right? I know you're saying right out there. Well, let me just read a little post that somebody handed me today as we think about pandemic and the strange times we're in. And this was handed to me, and I've read it previously. And I appreciate it, and I don't know who wrote it, but I agree with it. In 3 short months, just as he did with the plagues of Egypt, God has taken away everything we worship. God said, you want to worship athletes? I will shut down the stadiums. You want to worship musicians? I will shut down civic centers. You want to worship actors or Hollywood? I will shut down theaters. You want to worship money? I will shut down the economy and collapse the stock market. You don't want to go to church and worship me? I will make it where you can't go to church. Now, I don't know about all the theology there, but I thought it's something worth thinking about. What on earth is God doing? What on earth is God permitting, right? We don't have a lot of answers But as the months go on, we'll know more than we know today, right? Every week, every day, every month, we find out, oh, that's what God is. Those are the blessings God is bringing out of our troubles. And so this is out of the book of Deuteronomy. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And this person writes, maybe we don't need a vaccine. Well, we do need a vaccine. We do need a vaccine. And God bless those scientists and those medical people that are really smart. And they're living out their vocations in these days in a way that benefits all of us. I think we're going to come out of this with an appreciation for so many vocations. The custodians who clean up after us and disinfect, the folks in our grocery stores and the truckers and the people in our manufacturing plants and the moms and the dads who are watching over their kids and teaching their kids and the healthcare workers and the childcare workers and just so many vocations. And today we especially think of people who are shut down, and can't do what they love to do, what they're trained to do, the cosmetologists and so many good folks. And so it is quite a time that we live in. And it's fitting, as we study the book of Philippians, that St. Paul had 2 different times of imprisonment, and the first phase, he was pretty much under house arrest. He was quarantined, if you will, to his house, and if I read correctly, he probably had one other person chained to him. Chained to him. But he was given a lot of freedom, given supplies. People would deliver supplies to him. And in his four prison epistles, including Ephesians, Philemon, Colossians, and Philippians, Paul had much to say to early Christians. And so I read a little bit as we think about what our circumstances today, as we think about our circumstances today, and we think about Paul and what he made out of it, I read a couple of paragraphs from a commentator named Harlan Kuschel. Harlan Kuschel. He writes, Paul did not lose heart during his years as a prisoner, for he realized that his imprisonment, with all its attendant frustrations and inconveniences, was an essential and fruitful part of his ministry for Christ. Was an essential and fruitful part of his ministry for Christ. In the captivity letters, the apostle speaks of his own sufferings as an extension of Christ's sufferings, born for the sake of Christ's church. Paul regarded his hearing before the imperial court as an opportunity to witness for the defense and confirmation of the gospel. Kuschel continues, yes, his sufferings remained sufferings, and he felt them keenly. But Paul knew that even these sufferings were part of the grace bestowed on him in his ministry. His sufferings were part of the grace bestowed upon him. His immediate purpose in being in Rome... Oh, okay, we're off the radio. So I can breathe a little bit. That just makes me nervous, being on the radio. Not so much on Facebook, because I know that there are those of you who will flip in and out. You watch me for 3 minutes, and then you go make a sandwich, and you flip in and out, and the average time per viewing, I notice what it is, so I know what you're doing out there. You're flicking in and out, except for my dear sisters and my wife. Well, now she might be in worship herself right now. But my sisters are with me all the way. Right, Gail? Judy? Come on now. Where was I? Paul's immediate purpose was to be in Rome, was an appeal to Caesar. But his higher objective was to continue to proclaim the gospel. This he did to the Jews and to the Gentiles, ever hopeful and energetic, boldly and